This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Like I've indicated, there is plenty of expertise in terms of learning and technology, technology-enabled learning. There is collaboration between South, whereby they can actually take somebody from South Africa to help in Lesotho or to help in Tanzania. And in some instances, there is North-South collaboration, obviously, when they actually get Athabasca Open University UK to actually facilitate capacity building in the university. For example, Professor Alan Tutt, Professor Emeritus of the Open University of the UK, I contracted him for over 3 years to work the Botswana Open University, because before it became an open university, it was a Botswana College of Distance and Open Learning. So they needed to be helped in the transition from a college to an open university. So I had actually contracted Professor Alan Tate from the Open University of UK as the Deputy Vice Chancellor. And simply because, again, he taught in Swanen Secondary School in Sirol when some years back, so he knew the context of Botswana very well. And this is why we preferred him. I had to justify why I am preferring Professor Alan Tate. He's a guru in open and distance learning, student support services, and online learning. So, yeah, we basically, as indicated, work on transferable models and so forth. So, in briefly, this is what Commonwealth of Learning work entails. There are two key initiatives. That is education. And under education, there is open schooling. Open schooling, as I have indicated, is a philosophy that actually removes the barriers to access basic education, as advocated by UNESCO. So, in other words, all out-of-school youth and adults in Botswana and Namibia are actually attending if they missed their secondary school, they attended the Botswana Open University as part of the public good, public service that the Botswana Open University is actually doing. And in Namibia, they are basically using the Namibian College of Open Learning, which is also on the verge of transforming to become the Namibian Open University. And there are a number of open schoolings, even in the Caribbean and elsewhere in West Africa, but they are not really successful. So far, the successful open schools, open learning, has been in Botswana and Namibia, because since 2000, the Commonwealth of Learning has actually built capacity and capability of reaching the unreached at secondary school level and inmates and all those in difficult circumstances in geographically remote contexts through the models that we're talking about. So if you read about, for example, the Department of Higher Education of South Africa, when we are talking about open and distance learning, there is a mention of these two models, NAMCO and Bokodol, as models of extending access to secondary education using the philosophy of open schooling. And at one stage, when I was the regional manager for TAN, the oldest person was actually 79 years, who was doing a junior secondary certificate. And I did register a lot of success in open schooling. Or some of you will recall that the government actually relocated the son, the Bushman, from the CKGR to New Garden. And when I was the regional manager, quite a number of the same students who had missed education, because in conventional schools, there is age restriction. So we had to go out to settlements to address Kutla meetings, you know, the village assembly, using the chiefs in order to mobilize students to actually join Botswana College of Distance and Open Learning. And some of the success stories you would not believe. I mean, there are three who proceeded to the University of Botswana and are now engineers. And one other one who also proceeded to the University of Botswana after going through open schooling, you will be surprised. He is the first secretary to the Botswana High Commission in UK. He is from CKGR. So those are some of the role models that Botswana Open University uses to demystify the online distance learning methodologies, so that there is public acceptance. And there are quite a number of stories that I can tell regarding open schooling. In terms of teacher education, I mean, COL has actually facilitated the teacher capacity building. Jointly with UNICEF, COL has supported Botswana Open University in developing the integrated early childhood diplomas. Now there is a Bachelor of Integrated Early Childhood degree, and colleagues are now working on a master's program. In terms of higher education, like I have indicated, one very good example is when COL facilitated Bokodol or Botswana Open Botswana College of Distance Learning to transform into a fully fledged university. The consultant helped to build the university structures, the statutes, and all the necessary documents, which we then subjected to the former vice chancellor of the University of Botswana, Professor Mujosi, who is a legal expert, to quality assure the document so that we could actually get registered and accredited by the Botswana Qualifications Authority. As we speak, we have over 39 programs, and all systems are going. And because the council, I had to insist that we can't get the council without ODL experts. And the choices that they say they should provide, the choices I provided, actually three choices from Namibia, South Africa, and Zambia, Professor Richard Siatrena, and Professor Mpine Makwe from UNISA. She is the council member with expertise in open and distance learning. So when council deliberations are actually being contested in the issue of practices, she's the person who has the expertise to bring them to order to make sure that things happen. The Virtual University of the Small States, that is VASC, as I have indicated, it was specially established for the small islands of the Commonwealth. And these small islands of the Commonwealth, they are 32, including Seychelles, Mauritius, Trinidad and Tobago, and the nine others in the Pacific. So these small islands did not have the capacity to build resilient higher education systems and basic education systems. So we are basically supporting them. For example, whilst I was at COL, I had to get Neil Butcher from South Africa to go and build the basic education systems for radio lessons in Trinidad and Tobago and so forth, being supported by Mindset. South Africa. So in terms of skills of work, this is where MOUT falls. It also includes TVET. Qual has been working with a number of colleges that are focusing on TVET and universities of technology in Kenya and Ghana and elsewhere in the Caribbean. So, but otherwise, this is another area where MOUT can actually get support from Qual, because Qual also works with communities. So by extension, MOUT, I mean, I watched students giving their testimonies about entrepreneurship and so forth. The students of MOUT can actually take advantage of building capacity in bricklaying and carpentry and all those other skills that are required in the informal sector, so that the informal sector can actually be active to participate in the economy. And I mean, one Pakistani was saying, look, the economy of the future belongs to TVET. And I tend to subscribe to that. Lifelong learning for farmers, this is a model that has been used by Qual, I mean, in Uganda, in Ghana, in Kenya, and in India. And it has actually raised the quality of life in those countries, such that farmers are able to use mobile technology as a result of Qual's intervention to actually improve their lives. I mean, quite a number now lead decent, sustainable livelihoods. Girls Inspire, this is another project that focuses on girls and women in the Commonwealth, trying to uplift them so that they participate at all levels of education. And this is an area which the president of Qual is actually excited about. Then the cross-cutting things regarding Qual's work, its gender mainstreaming, I'll briefly talk about it, and the technology-enabled learning, which is an initiative that cuts across. We leverage technology to make great things. And basically, how does Qual work? It works in the areas of Qual creation of models, building policies, the e-learning policies, the ODL policies, create policies in terms of online assessment and so forth, and building capacity in the form of human resource, so that they have the capability to make things happen, and obviously developing materials. I mean, I've already mentioned open educational resources or pre-based materials, because you find that in a context like KZN, the fiber optic may not be running all over. So they are deeply remote areas that still need old technology, like self-learning materials actually being delivered there. This is why a mega university like the University of South Africa runs two parallel materials, online learning materials, and still provides the print-based material, because these are the materials that are able to get into prisons, into correctional services, and into very remote areas. Then the biggest of all of them to make all these happen, it's partnership. Partnership, partnership, partnership. And without partners, Qual cannot actually make its work impactful in member states. Some years back in 2002, there were only 22 member states that were making voluntary contributions. And by the time I left Qual, out of 54, there were 47 member states that were making contributions
because they realize the kind of work that coal was doing in other countries. And coal reports to education ministers in their annual, in their common, that is the ministries of education training. They meet, every 2 years, and the coal president actually presents progress report as required by Commonwealth Secretariat. So, in other words, basically we're saying for capacity building, coal has the capacity to help MUT transition from face-to-face teaching to ICT-supported face-to-face teaching to blended learning, and programs do not require face-to-face to fully online learning. But at the moment now, there is ongoing work in terms of augmented reality and virtual reality to ensure that even those who may not come to MUT because of geographical location or far away somewhere else in the Northern Cape, through augmented reality and virtual realities, they can actually use those kind of simulations to actually learn. Basically, Commonwealth of Learning supports educational transformation through the use of ICT and of late through the use of open educational resources in terms of access, quality, and new pedagogies. So MUT, when they raise a proposal, they should actually look into their strategic plan and identify priority areas where they can partner with Commonwealth of Learning. You may not be able to identify expertise elsewhere, but in the Commonwealth of Learning database, there are quite a number of experts that they can quickly actually identify, negotiate, and contract to actually come and support you. And coal will basically pay for the flights, pay for the consultancy fees, and pay for accommodation and feeding. That is if a university's profile and the people it serves is like MUT. But for UNISA, University of Cape Town, Cole will say, let's go halfway. I'll fly the expert, but take care of the accommodation and so forth, because those are well-resourced universities. For instance, like with us, because of the public perception of open and distance learning, in Botswana and the communities that I was reaching out, the same. So the call came full force. Because when they report about how they are dealing with SDG 1, breaking poverty, then that excites our governments, not only the Botswana government, but all member states.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.